Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Now I know just as well as you do that Easter season ended last week, but we weren't here on Easter and I was cheated out of my chance to hear that loud, booming, resounding Easter response. So that was kind of my last hurrah until next spring. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that engages us is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. It has been a long time since we have been able to gather all together in one place. For the past 9 weeks, our worship services have been exclusively online, unless you are one of the 8 to 10 people that we needed to produce the videos. And despite the Bible's encouragement to not give up meeting together, we were bound by law and conscience not to gather in order to love our neighbors and stem the tide of the virus. But that was then, and this is now. And as they say in the movie, The Blues Brothers, we're putting the band back together. We're on a mission from God. Now we have put the band back together. We are on a mission from God, and we rejoice to once again behold our brothers and sisters in Christ, not on a computer screen, but actually seeing each other's faces. Today, after months of isolation and anti-social distancing, we may finally enjoy one another's presence again. God said after the creation of Adam that it's not good for the man to be alone. People were never meant to be alone. We were made to have communion with him and community with each other. We're the body of Christ. We belong together. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus' disciples were gathered in one place in a house in Jerusalem. Pentecost is the Greek word for 50, and this feast of Thanksgiving would normally, for Thanksgiving for the first fruits for the spring harvest, would normally take place 50 days after the Passover. We celebrate it nowadays 50 days after Easter. That's Jesus' Passover when he passed from death into life. And on that Pentecost, the first Christians were all gathered together in one place. We don't know how big the house was. There were about 120 disciples, and that sounds like a lot of people to fit into one person's home. Some scholars have suggested that perhaps this was the house of the Lord, the temple. But with 120 people, no matter where they were, we can probably surmise that no social distancing was being practiced by the early church. But then all of a sudden, there was a sound like a hurricane that filled the house. Tongues of fire appeared above their heads. All of the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy in foreign languages. We know that they weren't speaking gibberish because each one of the people in the crowds was hearing them speak in his own language, their heart language, their mother tongue. What were they proclaiming? The mighty works of God. No doubt, as we hear in Peter's first sermon, they were speaking of the mighty works of Jesus' death and resurrection. Perhaps they also preached of Jesus' promise that he gave in the upper room and at the ascension, that he would send the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to empower them to be his witnesses. And now, amid a crowd of Jews from every corner of the earth, the disciples preached in dozens of languages and bore witness exactly as Jesus said they would. Many of the people were astounded. They asked, "What does this mean?" The oft-repeated question from Luther's catechism. And since it is Pentecost, I'll speak in tongues a little bit. Was ist das? But others mocked them and said, "These people are just drunk. That's all." But the Apostle Peter assured them that the members of the church were not drunk. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Clearly, the taverns in Jerusalem closed earlier than the bars in Denver did before the curfew. Rather than a bunch of drunks uttering nonsense, the people of God were proclaiming all that God had done for them. This, Peter said, was the fulfillment of a prophecy from Joel chapter 2. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The promised outpouring of the Spirit was now taking place right in front of them, in their eyes, in their hearing. And God was doing a new thing. The Spirit of Jesus was overwhelming the world with love and grace, and everyone who called on Jesus' name would be saved. It was an amazing day and a powerful event. Luke tells us in verse 41 that there were 3,000 people that day who received Peter's word and were baptized. Wow. Imagine if just one of my sermons could convert maybe not even 3,000, but just 30 people in a day. I mean, wouldn't that be a miracle? The church grew exponentially on that first Pentecost, not because Peter was such a great preacher, it was a good sermon, but because the Holy Spirit was at work. Even though the miracle of Pentecost began with all the believers in one place, however, there is still a sense in Scripture that the people of God are never supposed to be gathered all together in one place permanently. In fact, it was humanity's refusal to disperse and fill the earth after the flood that led to the pretentious Tower of Babel. Because of human hubris, the people of Babel tried to build a tower that reached into heaven. Instead, God came down, and he confused their languages, dividing their tongues so they no longer understood one another. Behold, God said, they are one people, they have one language, and this is only the beginning of the evil they will do. And nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. And in the confusion that followed, they left the work incomplete and scattered to the four winds, finally fulfilling God's command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. At his ascension, Jesus told his disciples that the movement of the church must be ever outward, away from the place of founding. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, on Pentecost, the Spirit came, empowering the apostles to proclaim the mighty deeds of God in multiple languages. It was not the undoing of Babel, as some have suggested. God didn't restore a common language, but rather it was the inversion of Babel, as the Lord employed all the tongues of men to preach the one gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's good for us to gather here together so that we can hear God's word, receive his gifts, praise his deeds, and pray in his name. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122. We rejoice to gather again and we're glad to be here, but we don't stay here. We don't camp out in the church sanctuary. Maybe if you're worried about getting your spot next week, you will. But but here we hear the word of God so that we may be equipped for every good work. God does not need our good works, but our neighbors do. And so we're propelled outward from this place and into the world, where we shine the light of Christ, loving and serving our neighbors. We are his witnesses, not just in this familiar turf of Jerusalem, but also to the ends of the earth. The people of God gather, but we do it so that we can grow and then go. Pentecost is also our reminder that we are a sent people. We gather to be equipped to go. God sends us out into the world to love others and bring others to gather with us. We go and we come back. And then we go again. Always we are going, but never gone. And what is that good news that we bring to others? The message we bear within us. It's the preaching of Peter on Pentecost. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Even now there's time to repent and be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Jesus died and rose again to forgive our sins and give us eternal life. Everyone who calls on his name will be saved. And right now, there is still time for people to repent and be baptized. The mighty deeds of God are still happening all around us. People need to hear that good news, especially now in this time where there is so much fear and confusion, death and division. People need to hear the word that gives life. Be filled with the Spirit who gives life. We gather today in this place so that the Spirit can send us to every place that we work and learn and shop and someday soon gather. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.